The octopus is charismatic and talented enough to have inspired Ringo Starr to write a song about it. But the octopus, well, it's merely the opening act of the cephalopod world. There are so many other cephalopods that have been upstaged. Did you know there's something called the vampire squid? Or what about the cuttlefish? So we're shining the spotlight this week on some lesser-known but really cool marine mollusks. Move over, Shark Week. We're celebrating cephalopods this week. And here to tell us about Cephalopods Week is our video producer, Luke Ruskin. Welcome back.
Hi. Happy Cephalopod Week to you.
Well, why did you pick cephalopods to celebrate?
Well, I mean, besides the fact that they're jet-propelled and they can change their colors and they have beaks and tentacles? You mean besides all that? Well, interestingly enough, you know, it's not just their anatomy. It's their behavior. It's their diversity. All of these things are studied by all sorts of scientific fields, from ecology to marine biology to the evolution of intelligence. So why not celebrate them? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we celebrate sharks. We should give them equal affection.
Well, here to help us join in our celebration right here on our stage is Jennifer Basil. She is Associate Professor of Biology at Brooklyn College in Brooklyn, and you joined her in her... What would you call that environment? That it was her lab? It's a lab.
It's definitely a nautical lab.
A nautical lab. And you raise what in your lab there?
Well, we don't raise them. We actually house a number of different species, including chambered nautilus. For those who don't know, that's the only living cephalopod with an external shell. You've seen the beautiful coil on the cover of every math textbook.
So what is the definition of a cephalopod then?
Well, a cephalopod literally means head, foot. And because when you look at them, it's characteristics of all mollusks is that muscular foot. That's what Gary slides around, Gary the snail on SpongeBob. And they also have this really enormous head, which houses a very large brain. And in many cases of cephalopods, very large eyes as well.
Mm-hmm. So nautilus is unique in that it's the only one with...
Yes, nautilus is unique. One, it represents the ancestral condition. It's a living fossil. Gives us an opportunity. Yes. They have an external shell. Unlike a snail, they don't actually fill up the entire shell. They just sort of live in the front chamber of the shell. And the rest of the shell is filled with air and with fluid. And they kind of can use it to move up and down in the water column along with their jet propulsion.
Mm-hmm. And you went over and you did your video.
Yeah.
And what fascinated you about what you saw there in the lab?
Well, I think, you know, before I made the video, I was interested in them mainly because I was like, oh, they have a shell. And I always thought of them as just kind of bobbing around. But I learned through Dr. Basil's research that, you know, they are actually pretty intelligent. They have this brain that's pretty impressive.
Is that right?
Yes, yeah. Luke's a convert. That's good. yes, they do. So for a long time, one, they're hard to catch. And keeping them in captivity is a little bit like keeping willful teenagers in an aquarium, because they're always trying to get out. But not only do they have a large brain, it's not as large as an octopus's, but it's much larger than a snail. They exhibit complex behavior as well. And I've always been a sucker for the underdog, so I became very interested in them. One, they differ in a lot of ways in their ecology, and I wondered what in their ecology makes having complex behavior and a big brain adaptive. And I also was interested in the evolution of big brains. Where do they come from? What kinds of pressures result in big brains? And in our work with learning on chambered nautilus with Robin Crook, we found that they have long-term memory, they have short-term memory. They also can learn complex cues in their environment and remember them for weeks at a time. We actually ran a study that was directly comparable to one done with octopuses, and they were able to remember the information for just as long as an octopus, which even surprised us. We didn't expect that.
Yeah, because we know how intelligent they are. They're pretty smart.
Yeah, that's something a lot of people are aware of, but I think it's important that people understand that the entire lineage has come up with a unique solution for having a lot of pressure in their environment. And that's a big brain and complex behavior. And it's an old brain. It's older than the vertebrate brain. And that in and of itself, I think, is interesting and a bit humbling for people.
Also interesting about cephalopods is that they have more than one heart.
Yes, they do.
Wow.
The soft-body cephalopods, the ones that don't have an external shell, they kind of live a live-fast, die-young lifestyle. They don't live for very long, maybe 18 months. A few octopuses live longer than that. And that takes oxygen. You've got to have something to burn. And in order to pump the oxygen to all their tissues, they have two hearts that are sitting on top of their gills that collect the oxygen, and then a central heart that pumps it to the rest of the body. So they've got, just like us, they have a closed circulatory system with high pressure blood flowing around in it, and you need a couple extra hearts for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is something that goes way back. I mean, you see, you talk about how old the Nautilus is, sort of a living fossil.
Yes. It's, you know, hundreds of millions of, the Nautilid family line is hundreds of millions of years old. Soft-bodied cephalopods came by a number of, you know, hundreds of millions of years later. So it's extremely old, much older than the vertebrate lineage. And just based on looking what the behaviors that this animal can do, we hypothesize that this very big brain might be much older than people originally thought.
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, you sometimes see these beautiful Nautilus shells in souvenir shops. Mm-hmm. Is that a good thing?
No, it's not. Nautiluses are weird in just about every way. And you know, again, I love weirdos. So
you came to the right show.
I came to the right show. I'm in the right place. And so unlike other cephalopods, these guys live for a really long time, at least 20 years, if not more. They don't breed until they're about 15. Then they lay just a few eggs. And then the eggs need to sit in the egg for a year before they even hatch. So it's not even fishing for nautilus shells. As my colleague Andy Dunstan said, it's more like mining for nautiluses because they can't really replace themselves on any kind of meaningful scale. And they can't migrate in from other places because they can't go too deep into the water or their shell actually implodes and all their habitats are surrounded by deep sea trenches. So they can't replace themselves. So people who buy shells love nature. So I'm sure if they know that they probably shouldn't be buying the shells, that they won't buy the shell. So do not buy those shells.
Sounds almost like the penguin of the ocean. You know, the penguin has a single egg. And,
yes.
And
yeah.
It protects it.
It's, again, a completely different solution. I mean, cephalopods are, they responded to many things over evolution, but one was when bony fishes appeared on the scene, which are fast and highly visual. That's when you get the cool crypsis that octopuses can do. Mm-hmm. You get ink. And the soft-bodied cephalopod solved that problem by becoming highly visual and fast, and nautiluses solved the problem by going into a deep water habitat that basically nobody wants to live there.
Where they can dive deep.
Yes, they can go up to 700 meters below the surface.
Wow.
Yeah, and they do so on a daily basis.
Wow. Yeah. Now, Luke, I know on our website you also have a video of a vampire squad. We have cuttlefish.
Yeah, well, the vampire squid, yes. It's not a sequel to Twilight. It's actual,
it doesn't have glitter.
Yeah. Well, it does glow in the dark, though.
That's true.
It's pretty impressive little creature. And we actually sent a video producer, Christian Baker, to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. And he while he was there, he also stopped by the Research Institute. And he spoke with some deep-sea ecologists about this really unique creature.
Deep in the ocean, in the cold darkness, lurks a mysterious ancient creature. The vampire squid from hell. Before you reach for the garlic and a wooden stake, there are two things you should know about this mystery of the deep.
The vampire squid, first, isn't a vampire, and second, isn't a squid.
Bruce Robison is the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute's resident authority on the vampire squid.
Its scientific name is Vampyrotuthis infernalis, which is really a cool-sounding name. Makes them sound pretty spooky and special, and indeed they are.
And if you want to find out more about what makes the vampire squid special, you definitely have to go to the website and watch the video. They have so many surprising adaptations to their unique environment, from their pineapple pose where they flip inside out and their little spines on the sides of what kind of are like their tentacles come out, and it's this defense posture. It's absolutely stunning to watch. It's really beautiful, beautiful video. Mm-hmm. And then on the opposite side of the spectrum, we have another video about cuttlefish. And the unique ways that the Monterey Bay Aquarium have been raising these animals to adulthood. In captivity, it's hard to raise these animals, as Dr. Basil mentioned. And what Monterey Bay Aquarium has done is they've kind of taken some ideas from, you could even say, human child rearing. They've built a cradle for their cuttlefish cradle, as they call it. It's pretty cute. It definitely inspires some awe. So that's another example of pretty fun cephalopod related content on our website.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. talking about cephalopods, a cephalopod week with Jennifer Basil, Associate Professor of Biology at Brooklyn College, and Lou Groskin, our video producer. There are a lot of stuff on our website for cephalopod.
Oh, tons.
Week. Tons.
Tons. You can track some of it using hashtag cephalopod week. And if you come over to the website, you can learn about the blue-lined octopus. We have a photo of the week feature there about this octopus that is extremely poisonous, venomous.
Is that
I should
right?
say.
Yeah.
Yes, it's deadly to humans if you were bitten. Not that this animal goes around biting humans. That's a rare occasion. And they also have some gender issues going on with that species. The males can't tell females from other males. So when they're mating, they make mistakes. So it's an interesting story, you know, there as well.
This is so fascinating. We never hear about these. They get no respect, do they, Doc?
I'll tell you. And again, this comes from somebody who specializes on studying chambered nautilus. I think octopuses get a lot of press.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful for SpongeBob SquarePants as well, because a lot of that is actually biologically accurate. And as I said before, here's evidence of a complex brain. You know, these octopuses can learn how to do something just by observing another octopus. And, you know, for an animal that doesn't live that long, that's a heavy investment and an expensive thing to make, which is a brain. As I said before, I think it's a bit humbling. Here's a big brain that's much older than ours, and it's a different solution to similar problems. And we can learn a lot about how big brains are put together and how they evolve by looking at this lineage. And that also informs our understanding of how are the rules that put big vertebrate brains together, because big brains are really rare. And so I'm happy that you're having Cephalopod Week, other than just my inherent bias at liking squishy animals. For that reason, I think just being people on this planet, we should be aware of the animals around us and how exceptional they are.
Well, we believe that there's more to cephalopods than just calamari.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and they are really fascinating, and we're very happy to have spent the whole week. We even have on our website, we have cutouts. You can
vampire squid hats.
I'm getting one.
And we have one right here. We can send you home.
Great.
We have vampire squid hats. If you can't get enough of them, you can see four different videos on our website at sciencefriday.com/tentacles.
Yep.
And then there is the old classic favorite, Where's the Octopus? Where's the Octopus has been downloaded like 2 million times, and it shows something we haven't talked about and we don't really have time to talk about is how good they are at camouflage, right?
Yes. All the soft-bodied cephalopods are great at camouflage, and again, that's because they were dealing with these fishes with really great eyes. Nautilus doesn't have camouflage other than its shell. But what's really fascinating is they can also match texture and color of their environment. Like, as you can see in that video, it looks like a coral reef. It looks like part of the coral reef.
It's unbelievable.
I've seen it a dozen times. I still can't find the octopus.
Where's the octopus? Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer Basil is Associate Professor of Biology at Brooklyn College in Brooklyn. Thank you, Luke.
Happy Cephalopod Week.
Happy Cephalopod Week. Everything about cephalopods on our website at sciencefriday.com. And then if you want to see the videos, just /tentacles, and they're going to be there. And there's also instructions how to make your paper vampire squid hat. We have a little form for you to do there on our website.